Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MIR podcast section. My name is Ines Fahmy, and I will be your host today. So today we are receiving Rose Horowitz. Rose is a journalist for The Atlantic. She's an assistant editor and in the Politics Global and Ideas team. Ms. Horowitz wrote an article called Are Gen Z Men and Women Really Drifting Apart? And today we're going to talk about that myth or reality, causes and correlations of this phenomenon. Hi, Rose. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about the piece.
So one of the first questions I had is like on the men's side, there's a theory, and you talk about it, that since the woke movement, the hashtag MeToo movement and all those phenomenons, society has kind of turned against men, or that's their feeling at least. Do you think that the main feeling that men felt about being stigmatized comes from the Me Too and woke movement, and that's why they felt the need to replicate or push the feminism movement away altogether?
Yes. So in my reporting process, I definitely found that there were people who, believe that there is this who believe in this theory that young men are sort of pushing against these movements that are more on the liberal side. And so, their argument is sort of that young men can sort of be, split into two. On the one side, some men are at the sort of top of the economic ladder, are doing, better, than they, maybe ever have before. But that other young men are really struggling, and that they're sort of blaming, the feminism movement, or the Me Too movement, to kind of, thinking that society has turned against men, and that the Democratic Party and mainstream institutions haven't addressed their problems. And one person that I quoted, said there's this sort of ping pong going on between young men and women over, who's really discriminated against, who's really struggling. And this shows up in some polls. So there's definitely less evidence that young men are sort of turning conservative than there is that, young women might be moving more liberal. There's also a lot of evidence that shows that young men, have kind of stayed where they are, which is much more liberal than prior generations. But we do see that some voter registration data shows that, particularly really young men, like, 18 to 21, are registering as Republicans at much higher rates than they, were previously. And that, particularly on the question of whether young men identify as feminists or not, the American Enterprise Institute has found that Gen Z men are actually less likely than millennial men to identify as feminist, which is very unusual that we would sort of see a generation become like less liberal or hold a less liberal view than the prior generations. That doesn't generally happen. So there definitely is some data suggesting this, and my reporting, I spoke with some people who hold this theory.
Yeah, and I want to talk about a little bit about the not all men phenomenon, because it feels like they feel victimized and that they feel stigmatized, which is really ironic because in history the narrative is more that women have been at that place. So is the not all men, is it really to say that it's actually not all men, or is it to invalidate what women say and buy into that kind of narrative that you were talking about of like who's the bigger victim, who's more stigmatized, all of that? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I can answer, about that sort of phrase specifically. But I definitely think that what you were saying, that sort of throughout history, obviously, in America, men have had certain advantages. And now, Richard Reeves, who I spoke to, founded this institute specifically to support boys and men, because they are more likely to, young boys are men are more likely to commit suicide. They are economically struggling. They're much less likely to go to college than young women are. So there are real tangible ways in which, some young men are really struggling. So in regards to how they feel, or sort of how widespread this is, I think the data there is a little bit, it's not yet clear sort of exactly, how widespread this is, or what might be the exact causes, or how people feel. But we should be able to see more on that in the future.
Okay. Yeah, and also we can see in history, especially in US history, that every time there's a big social movement or liberal movement, there's a conservative counter movement that emerges right after it. So is this just one more experience? Do you think this is gonna kind of go away? Or is this something that's bound to stick? Because we can see that we can't be sure that there's a correlation, and I would like to know what you think about that. But some people might say that, for example, the overturn of Roe versus Wade is a kind of example of what's going on right now, of this counter conservative movement that's going on. So what do you think? Do you think this is bound to stick? Do you think there's a correlation in actual political policies, or maybe not?
I think it's very hard to know, sort of how this will play out in the future. Definitely, in my reporting, I spoke with some people who, do believe that this is going to stick, that this sort of originated more as a cultural movement, and then, is sort of playing out now as a more in a more political way. But I also think it's important to keep in mind that, the voting data, really shows that this generation of young people is still, by far the most supportive of Democrats, and is very overwhelmingly liberal. So it's not clear to me, exactly how this will play out, or sort of how, significant this might be. People definitely have very different theories on the issue, and the polling ahead of 2024 really shows a wide variety of scenarios. So yeah, it's just not, I just don't think we know yet.
Okay. Yeah, and then I wanted to talk a little bit more about on the women's side. So it feels like women are like no longer, at least, or at least not less scared to speak up about the issues that they've been facing in modern society for centuries. And I think that maybe since these issues were silenced before, it looks like all of this is new when it's not. And it's just newly talked about. So men feel like women are exaggerating it. They're like, where's this coming from? This we've never had a problem with this. So what do you think? Do you think there's an overrepresentation of talk about feminist issues in the media? Or do you think this is just because people are talking about it and they weren't before?
Well, one researcher who I spoke with did she did say that, sort of women now have more publishing power, and so really, women now can tell their own stories, and that, we're sort of seeing that, for one of the first times now. There definitely is evidence that, young women are moving more towards the Democratic Party, that this seems to correlate with the Me Too movement, with the overturn of, Roe v. Wade. Young American women consistently rank abortion as very important to them. I'm not, sure exactly that I can, answer your question of, whether something has really changed, or, whether this is just sort of the first time that we're seeing it, I'm not sure that we could know the answer to that, but it definitely is a theory of, some of the people that I've spoken to on microphone.
All right. And there's also a lot of new types of feminism emerging from the woke movements. Is that some people, some theorists think that this is really the core of this problem, and that this is where the men versus woman debate is coming from? Because some of these kinds of feminism are a little bit aggressive. And we can see that, for example, with the men are trash movement. So, do you think that this is at the core of this problem, the fact that new forms of feminism exist and they're a little bit more right, a little bit more aggressive than they were before?
I think in my reporting, I don't think that I spoke with anyone who was sort of saying that that is at the core of this. I did speak to some people who, argued that social media and sort of, influencers who, are more maybe anti-men, could potentially be driving the genders apart, but I didn't speak with anyone who said that that was sort of at the core of the of what may be a divide.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at the same time, this is something that I wanted to talk about because I personally see that a lot. That at the same time, women are embracing a very girly and feminine side of themselves, and they're using it to fight for what they believe in, which is new because before, women engaged in feminism and social issues, wouldn't necessarily be the most what we would qualify a feminine woman. And so there's this idea that we see a lot coming from men that they're trying to have it all. They wanna at the same time be taken care of and be feminine and be all of that, but be independent. And there's this sort of deconstruction of the traditional family that is going on. And I think that that's one of the divides that are going on between men and women, especially in Gen Z.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I can totally speak to that just because it wasn't something that I like did reporting on or, have any data on. It's definitely something that I've, sort of read articles on or heard about, and, is a interesting idea, but I'm just not sure that I could speak to that confidently. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. And then yeah, and then I want to talk about social media and the impact that has on dividing men and women, especially Gen Z, because that's the age range that's most touched by social media. So with the coming of social media, we can see the new platforms that such as podcasts where extremes arise and are accentuated on both sides. Do you think there would be a solution to that? Do you think, first of all, do you think that's true? And then in a second time, do you think there would be a solution to that? Do you think we should kind of try and regulate that a little bit more?
So several researchers who I spoke with, said that it seems like social media, it can be could be sort of inducing, polarization among Gen Z, just because, men and women are sort of in, their own filter bubbles, and then, not exposed to, the same media that, the other gender is seeing. And Alice Evans, who I interviewed for the piece, writes often about this and about, potential regulation of algorithms as a solution to it. My reporting didn't really get into, how you might address this, polarization, partly because I was just trying to determine, is this really happening? Are we seeing a unique gap? And so I definitely think that, I mean, there is, I definitely think there is sort of some evidence that social media could be contributing to it, particularly because, there's research showing that Gen Z men and women are more divided in, a lot of several countries around the world. And so social media is one of those factors that is a much more global phenomenon. So it, would make sense. But I don't know that we could say definitively, whether social media is or isn't driving this, and if that's the most salient factor, if there's another one, or exactly, then how to solve it.
Okay. And then yeah, I wanted to ask you, do you think this is just a who's suffering the most, who's the biggest victim competition? Because in a lot of those podcasts, for example, debates, it's always, oh, but women have this issues and this issues, and then men have these issues and these issues. And it's never, let's sort of work together and work through this. It's always, we have this, so we should have more comfort or whatever. And on the next side, the same thing. Do you think that this is just a big competition of like who's the biggest victim in the end?
Well, so some of the people that I spoke to, did definitely argue that, both men and young men and women are sort of seeing themselves as, discriminated against. There is data showing that, young men and young women both believe that their gender is discriminated against, sort of more than, older men and older women do, respectively. In my reporting, I was really trying to determine, when we say that Gen Z is, divided, or there's a big Gen Z gender gap, like what exactly does that mean? Because I looked at a variety of polls and really found that, it appears in some places. It appears when you're looking at some specific issues, maybe if you're looking at abortion or at feminism. But then if you look at other polls, it's not there. If you look at economic issues, it's not there. If you look at, and so I really tried to go, to how did people actually vote? And in that sense, there wasn't much of a divide in past elections, at least among Gen Z men and women in America. And so it we might end up, it might be that we just haven't yet seen this really affect elections, and that it will in the coming years. But it definitely is like a real mystery now, whether there really is a unique gender divide, because men and women in American politics have had this gender divide for decades. And so it's not clear that it's, particularly big among young people.
Yeah, that was my next question is this real more socially than it is factually or politically? Is this more of a feeling than it is something real that's actually happening?
So it's definitely, I mean, it is like a real mystery. It's not abundantly clear right now whether it is real. And I think part of that is that one of the professors that I quoted, the political scientist John Sides, was saying, what does it exactly mean? What does this divide mean? If you ask someone if they identify as liberal or a feminist, you are also sort of implicitly asking them, how do you define that term? And people have very different definitions for different things, so and different connotations that ultimately influence how they describe themselves. So In terms of whether this is real or not, or sort of something that's maybe more cultural than political, I definitely think that that's possible. Different polls show very different results, and it's sometimes, in polls that look more at specific issues, tend to not show as much of a divide, particularly around economic questions. Gen Z tends to be pretty close together and pretty far to the left compared to past generations. So I think that we have to wait and see, unfortunately, and just sort of be comfortable with the ambiguity. And hopefully we will sort of get an answer soon. But for now, I really wanted to point to the voting data where this wasn't so clear, just to sort of, push back and kind of introduce some of that gray area to the kind of discourse about the Gen Z gender gap.
Yeah, and so what do you think the 2024 election will reveal? Not in terms of will it say that there is a divide or not, but do you think it would be important and it will be a turning point in realizing if this is a thing or not, or if we're leaning towards something?
Yeah, I think it will be really helpful to see if this, how significant this gender gap might be, just because a lot of the voter registration data that people were sort of pointing me towards, shows a shift quite recently. And a lot of people, are saying that this is a sort of quite a very recent shift. And so in that sense, maybe it just, hasn't shown up yet. We also know that different people who aren't mobilized to vote during the midterm elections sometimes do show up for presidential elections. So it will hopefully provide more information. It's still things could still be even more confusing after it, but it also, really could help provide a more conclusive answer about what's going on, in this time specifically.
All right. Well, I think that's it with my questions. Thank you so much for coming here and chatting with us today. It was a pleasure. And yeah, thank you to all our listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.